Stanford professor Thomas Mullaney was at a conference last year when he got a message. Someone in upstate New York had found a strange machine in their basement and posted a picture of it online.
It was a sleepless night. I was randomly searching who the owner might be.
Mullaney spent 20 years studying Chinese computers. Admittedly, that sounds niche, but China's entry into modern computing has changed the technology we use today. To do that, some of the brightest Chinese minds of the 20th century had to figure out how to type the complex pictographs that make up written Chinese. One man, this man, succeeded more than any other before him. His name was Lin Yutang. Here is a recording of him speaking in 1967. He made just one prototype of his Chinese typewriter.
I had really, truly thought it was gone.
But last year, Mullaney confirmed that machine found in that New York basement was the only ever prototype of Lin's typewriter, called the Mingkuai. Mullaney studied the ideas behind the machine for two decades without ever seeing it in person.
It's like a family member just showing up at your doorstep and you just had assumed you would never see them.
The story of why such a typewriter even exists runs parallel to the political upheaval and conflict over Chinese identity and politics in the 20th century. Lin was born in 1895 in southern China during the tail end of a failing Qing dynasty. Student activists and radical thinkers were desperate to reform and to strengthen China. Some proposed dismantling traditional Chinese culture in favor of Western science and technology and eliminating Chinese characters altogether in favor of a Roman alphabet. But Jia Fangcai, the director of the Lin Yutang Foundation in Taiwan, says Lin wanted to chart a middle course, a way that married both East and West and preserved the Chinese language and the digital age. This was a monumental challenge. Chinese has no alphabet. Instead, it uses tens of thousands of pictographs, think hieroglyphics of sorts. And when Lin started his work in the early 20th century, there were also hundreds of dialects and languages spoken, meaning there was no singular phonetic spelling of the sound of each word either.
He spent a lot of money on that. A lot.
That's Jill Lai Miller, Lin's granddaughter. She says Lin nearly bankrupted himself trying to build his typewriter. And then it was lost to history. Until now. Since being discovered, it's been acquired by Stanford University, and Mullaney, on its campus, carefully opens the machine's wooden casing.
It's a beautifully made piece of machinery. It's
like,
so intricate.
Mullaney's trying to understand how the machine works, and the far-off dream of perhaps one day building more machines like it.
Can I touch it?
Yeah, of course you can. Just don't push down on it, but you
But the typewriter's real genius comes from the way Lin decided to break down Chinese pictographs by their shapes, not sounds. You search for a certain combination of shapes using its keyboard, then a little pop-up menu offers the typist up to 8 possible characters that might match. In this way, the typewriter boasts that it can retrieve up to 90,000 characters.
I'm not a theological or religious person. This is like Eve. This is the beginning of it all.
Because these concepts underlie how we type Chinese, Japanese, and Korean today. And it's a direct rebuttal to voices in and outside of China that once said
that the price of entry to modernity is our culture, our language.
I read the manual that comes with the typewriter.
Types the Chinese, Japanese, English, and Russian alphabets.
Meaning encoded in the machine was an ambitious globalism. Here's Yangyang Chang, a writer who first wrote about the typewriter's discovery.
One thing that was very interesting and very important in Lin Yutang's thinking about Chineseness and Chinese culture is that it must not be insular. It must have this porous border. It must be capacious and be able to communicate and talk with other cultures.
This ability to translate seamlessly between languages and identities draws from Lin's own bilingual and nomadic life.
Especially at a time when the cultural and political contours of the world were being redrawn.
Redrawn in the wake of a fading Chinese empire. Lin was educated in the U.S. and later, after the Communist Party took control of mainland China, he took up residence in Taiwan plus the then British colony of Hong Kong. To him, the hope for an open, multicultural China, for which he designed the typewriter, no longer existed.
A, B, C.
Mullaney, the Stanford professor, is now using a dental mirror to peer inside the machine. He thinks the typewriter perhaps contains one last secret.
You'll notice that the ink spool is still there.
Mulaney thinks the spool could contain the traces from the last time someone typed on the machine, meaning perhaps Ling's words are in this machine too. Emily Fang, NPR News, Stanford, California.